I'm Jackie Pierre.
I'm Joseph Lunter.
And we're Two Peas in a Podcast at thecommentary.ca for Monday, February 1st, 2016.
Good morning, and I can't believe it's February already.
I know, that first month just went by so quickly, so we're already into the second month of the year.
Yeah, it does go by quickly, and we've talked about this before. I guess it's just because we're older, these things go by quickly, but... I don't know. I it feels like it was just a couple weeks ago. It was Christmas, and we were talking about that, and now we're talking about the Oscars now. I guess that's what we should be talking about.
We are. It's just like, you know, the time. I guess it is the age.
Yeah.
Goes by so quickly.
Do you remember when we were growing up? I guess the Oscars used to be in late March, sometimes in early April.
Right.
And so in the last few years, they've moved it now to the end of February. So it's a little faster, I guess, when it comes to the beginning of the year and the sort. The Screen Actors Guild Awards on Saturday were handed out, and the news media on the Sunday night news, they were making a big deal about how a lot of the recipients were of color. A lot of them were black, like Idris Elba. He won two. Uzo Aduba from Orange is the New Black. She won. Queen Latifah, Viola Davis, who we've talked about before. And contrast that with the Academy Awards, where that hashtag #OscarsSoWhite, it's the second year that people have been using that, because none of the major acting nominees of the 20 best actor, best actress, best supporting actor and actress, none of them are of color. None of them are of a visible minority.
Right.
Do you think it's on the other side of it, some people will say, well, it's a very competitive year, and maybe that's why Straight Outta Compton didn't get any nominations, or Will Smith for Concussion, or Idris Elba for Beasts of No Nation, that film that he made, that he didn't get nominated, because these folks didn't get nominated because it was so competitive. I mean, that case can be made too, can't it?
I'm sure it could. I've never been a big fan of the Oscars anyway, so to me, I'm kind of like, who cares? There's other ways for you to be recognized, right? The Oscars isn't the end-all be-all, but at the same time, I understand where they're coming from. I'd have to see the other films to see, you know, really what we're comparing them against. But it is questionable to me, especially, you know, Idris Elba. He's quite the actor.
Yeah, I mean,
so
yeah.
I'd have to see what, you know, the latest film he did to see why wouldn't he have been nominated, and what are they going up against? You know, I can't say I've seen any real pivotal movies this year anyway, so...
Yeah,
I'd have to see.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at them, I've seen some of the films nominated in these performances, and I haven't heard anybody, like critics, for example, movie critics and sort, say that there was a bum nominee in this batch of 20 performances nominated. So, like,
right.
You know, that person didn't deserve to get nominated. So, but I mean, it does make sense, though, that there should be more diversity. And the Academy has worked to address that, and because of all of the controversies, because Will Smith and I can't remember what his wife's name is now,
Jada Pinkett.
Yeah, they've said that they're boycotting the Oscars. Well, I guess she said, but he's since walked that back.
He
was on the BBC last week saying that he didn't really say. That he didn't really call for a boycott, but she did, of course, on Facebook.
Right.
So, I mean, the Academy is working to diversify its membership. A lot of those folks that are in the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, they're older and white, and, you know, they've been in Hollywood a long time, and so they're obviously not as diverse as, say, the Screen Actors Guild, which I heard on because I guess to be an actor, you have to be a member of the union. And
mm-hmm.
So the membership of the Screen Actors Guild and the other union, AFTRA,
is a lot more diverse.
Yeah, it's four times the size of the Academy. I mean, the Academy's
of
like 3,000, so four times that.
Right.
But, I mean, does it really? I mean, you mentioned Idris Elba, and we all agree he's a wonderful actor. There was some talk you know, in the past year or so about him playing James Bond. Do you think it matters, one's race in terms of the roles that they play? I mean, it's a different topic, I know, but I mean, he would have been great as James Bond, I think.
Oh, I thought he would have been amazing. I thought it may have been the only time I actually watched a James Bond movie. So, it could have been something great. Is he still not? He's not doing that.
Well, I don't know if this the current guy, whose name escapes me now.
Me too.
I can't remember the guy's name.
Daniel Craig.
Yeah, that's
Daniel
right.
Daniel Craig, right.
Yeah,
I think
he might still do another one. I'm not sure.
Okay, because he was kind of knocking it for a bit there. He's kind of knocking the old James Bond Empire.
Yeah, he didn't want to do another one, and I don't know if he's contracted to do another one, or they may not even... Well, I think they probably will do another one, but...
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be more.
Yeah.
It all comes together anyway, the whole Academy,
Yeah, then the other controversy I remember from the past week was that Joseph Fiennes, an Englishman, a white actor from England, is going to play Michael Jackson in a thing, so...
Okay, like that, so that's a bit crazy.
I always thought Michael Jackson was white.
Oh my God. Michael Jackson... He would not want this. He would not want this guy playing him. They need to change that.
Yeah, I think there's
I don't know where they would come up with Joseph Fiennes or whatever. What's his name?
Yeah, Joseph Fiennes, yeah.
Yeah, where would they come up with this idea?
Well, the other thing is that it's a comedy film. And so it's
like
not
a satire.
Possibly, yeah. So it's not like it's a biopic of Michael Jackson.
Oh my God, give me a break. Yeah, I don't know. There's some things, you know, like there's so much going on in in Hollywood right now. It's like I don't even know how much of it I actually want to listen to. How could he play Michael Jackson?
Yeah. Well. You know what I mean? So I mean, in the case of Idris Elba,
in that case, maybe not. But I mean, James. So like, this is the thing: James Bond is like a fictional character, that you know, typically, historically, has been white, has been introduced to us as a white male. But no one said that had to be like it was set in stone that was what this image has to always be, right?
Well, I don't know. Maybe in the Ian Fleming books, they described him as whatever. I haven't read his book, so I don't
neither
know.
Have I. So who knows? Yeah. I don't know, but I guess we can surmise, really.
Yeah.
But Michael Jackson is a real person. And, like, you know,
yeah.
He was, like, regardless of what people may have seen or think, he was black.
Yeah.
But so it's kind of weird to, like, just get a white guy to play him and be like, hey, guys, just pulling the wool over your eyes. It's going to get a white guy to play him. Don't mind us. That's a bit much.
Yeah. Well, there will be at least one black person on the Oscars because Chris Rock is hosting this year.
Oh, right, yes. That should be so funny.
Yeah.
I mean, I can say I will be watching for him and to see how he... The comedy that he comes up with, I'm sure it'll be amazing.
And he's also, you know, an underrated actor. I mean, he did that small independent film where he was married to that French woman from the Beyond Sunrise movies.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they played a couple. And
he does a lot of work.
Yeah, yeah. And
he
not
produces
just,
a lot, too.
Yeah, not just, you know, comedy films. They're quite. He's not a bad actor, I think.
No, he's actually great, and if you think about it, he's been around for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely paid his dues.
Yeah.
He's been around a while, and, produces a lot of show, many things. I noticed he produced Amy Schumer's comedy special, which was hilarious. So, yeah.
I'm thinking of a particular joke in that show.
And oh my God, which one? They're all, she's just, oh my God.
The Michelle Obama having sex with Barack and then walking to the bathroom.
She's so funny. She's just so, and you know what? And even for me, a bit lewd in some cases. I'm like, oh my God, really?
Well,
like,
I like,
even for me.
Yeah, well, I like Trainwreck. Did you see that one?
I did, but I didn't like that movie.
Really?
I was asleep within, like, I felt like it dragged on.
Huh. Well, I enjoyed it, and I thought that it was quite good. The I thought the underrated part in that was the dad and that bit with the dad's illness, which I guess is based on whatever her real life, right?
Yeah, they didn't really, that kind of got lost in the story. It was a bit convoluted, but, you know.
What was the guy, though? He's on Saturday, he used to be on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Colin Quinn.
Is that his name?
Yeah, he was really good as the sick dad, and then the old man, and the nursing home.
See, look, I was probably asleep before he was introduced. No, I did. No, they did. He was at the beginning of the movie,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, who knows? I mean...
Yeah, no, it is. She is very talented, and I've seen Inside Amy Schumer. I haven't seen all of her shows, though, but I've seen some of them, and they're quite, she's really just, I mean, she's one of the more brilliant people in show business today.
Oh, she's hilarious. It's just because she just speaks the truth. It's all like, you know, it's real life. Yeah, I just thought of another funny part from her show.
Yeah,
so funny.
An unrepeatable joke, no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
Well, she's good friends with Jennifer Lawrence. How could you like her and not Jennifer Lawrence?
It boggles my mind, too. I've thought the same thing. I don't know. You know, there's always that one person in the group. It's like you get along with everybody else except for that one. And J-Law is that one.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's just something about her. It's a lot of things about her, actually, that I don't like.
Yeah. Well, and then Lena Dunham, I mean, a lot of the humor, I mean, crosses over between the two of them, and you don't like her either.
No, she bothers me. Yeah, I'm just really particular. Quite particular.
There's a story in the news this past week up in Salmon Arm, British Columbia, where a couple, I guess, had been... They were charged with assault. Their daughter, last Valentine's Day 2015, they had beaten her physically, I guess spanked her term.
Yeah, we don't know if it's a beating.
Yeah, well, the police got involved because the daughters had gone to school and showed bruises on her buttocks because her parents had spanked her with a mini hockey stick and a skipping rope. And I'm reading from the CBC news story here.
Right.
After learning she had sent nude photos of herself to her boyfriend on Snapchat. And so this went to court, and the judge, I guess, found them guilty of assault. And what's Snapchat? And how is that different from, say, Twitter or Instagram or...
Well, Snapchat is this new thing they're using. No, it's not really new. God, I guess it's been over a year or two now that these kids have been using it, and it's essentially an app, and it allows you to send video or pictures that dissolves, and I use that term very lightly, within 15 to 30 seconds. So it's enough for you just to see it. But of course, if you take a screenshot, then that photo does not dissolve into thin air.
So if I sent you a picture, say I'm eating a meal right now, and I send it to you on Snapchat, it'll get sent to you like a text would.
Yeah.
And then it's gone?
And then it's gone. It's really stupid. I honestly don't get the point of it, but of course, I'm not a teenager sending nude photos of myself that I think will dissolve into... the Ethernet airspace once it's done, right? So I guess what that's what these kids do now is a way of like, oh, I can still send nudes and not get caught because the photo will be gone in a second. I don't know. I'll tell you right now. I don't know why these parents got charged.
So because the girl is 14, and I guess they said that the spanking was out of love, and sort of I guess educational was the excuse. So that
I wouldn't even say it was out of love. It was just straight up because she needed to get her ass knocked. She thought it was okay to send nude pictures of herself at 14 or 15. That's inappropriate.
So, but I mean, the other thing that struck me about the story is that this family, the parents are described as Christian and religious. Mm-hmm. And so I guess this offended their religious sensibilities. And, but at the same time, I wonder, I mean, if they are Christian, why would they have to resort to spanking? And at the same time, maybe I'm blaming the parents in this case, if they've raised their child in a home that is purportedly Christian, why is she sending nude photos of herself to begin with?
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah, so
I'm thinking, you know, yeah. Usually, honestly, like, my daughter's almost 13. I haven't had to resort to spanking in a long time.
Yeah.
Right? I personally think the spanking comes out of pure frustration and not knowing what else to do.
So when the parents are saying in court that it's out of love and compassion and love, not for discipline.
Right.
Is that bullshit?
Because she loved her daughter. Hey, it might be. It might be.
Just the lawyer told them to say that.
And it sounds like probably something lawyer contrived, right? Something a lawyer would tell them to say. But it's straight up, it just seems like, to me, when you have a 14, 15-year-old daughter doing things like this and you resort to spanking, because, let's be honest, that is kind of old to be spanking your child. That tells me that they're frustrated and they don't know how else to deal with this kid.
But there are myriad ways to discipline a child,
aren't
there?
There's many other things they could have done. I think of off the top of my head right now.
Yeah, I mean, what's wrong with words, say? But in this case, so you do think that the parents should not, I mean, should have been able to do what they did, and should not have gone to court?
No, I don't think it should have gone to court. It's a waste of there's so many more important things going on in the legal system. I think this was a waste of time. Not that it's not an important issue, but I think maybe there's a different venue that this could have been heard at.
Yeah, well, so I guess they've got a record now. They've got an assault conviction on their hands.
And that's a bit much. That's a bit extreme.
But the judge, in his, this is Judge Edmund DeWall, he said something quite interesting in his judgment. He said that to suggest that responding to such acts, the photo taking and the photo sending, by spanking her with an object would be educative or corrective is simply not believable or acceptable by any measure of current social consensus. So is the judge saying in this case that corporal punishment, spanking, physical handling of matters is not on? And do you think that society thinks that as well?
I don't know. Society has really changed a lot over the years, and the views of spanking. What it sounds like he's saying, yeah,
that people don't agree with spanking at all.
Well, that's kind of the assumption that he's making. Yeah, in today's society, apparently.
See, I grew up without any of that. I mean, my parents never did that.
Well, yeah, you know, my grandparents were pretty old school.
Yeah.
And surprisingly, I mean, my grandma spanked us. And she spanked us. My grandpa never. He was like, he just gave you the look, and that was scary enough.
Yeah. So does banking work then?
No. Because I got spanked, and I don't think it did much. I just knew, you just know not to get caught by grandma, at least, because she'll spank you with the spoon. But it's like she made it such a big, drama, come and you're going to get over my knee. And it's like, oh, really? To me, as you get older, you start to think, God, it's such a control thing. People have such control issues. I just want to spank people. But I don't think it made any difference in my life.
Yeah.
I'm not traumatized or anything. I don't need a counselor.
Yeah, it wasn't abuse.
God, no. I wasn't, left with bruises. It was just enough to be like, okay, I won't do that again.
Yeah, I mean, I must say, I find... even people yelling at each other, and because I was at White Spot yesterday for lunch, and there was a situation where I guess the parents were arguing, and they're not children; they were more teenagers, and they were starting arguing with one another, and it was quite almost the raised voices at least, and I found that very uncomfortable, and I was a few tables away. I don't know. I find it.
Do you find confrontation?
No, I enjoy confrontations myself. It's especially if they're civilized. But I find when you resort to violence, when you resort to insults and yelling and screaming and cursing especially, it's not intellectual, and I find it not effective.
It's not. People are doing this at White Spot?
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah, it was not even a serious argument. They'd done something wrong. They were talking about, some diet that the parents didn't approve of, and the teenager was sort of making the case, and it became an argument about, well, you don't understand much,
Yeah. So, I guess in not so many words.
Yeah. And I found it just, it seemed tense more than anything.
And you know what? I agree, because I was in a similar situation the other day, too, with Sophia at the at a sushi place. A guy started arguing with, it seemed maybe his sister or his mom, but she was talking about what she was going to order, and they were kind of going back and forth, and he just, kind of lost it. Don't worry about me. Worry about yourself. And I turned into a big thing, and it made me uncomfortable because I mean, not to say that I grew up in a perfect family. We never argued. Of course we did.
Yeah.
Just a time and a place, right?
Yeah.
And a time and a place for everything in a way that you conduct yourself in public opposed to how you carry on in the privacy of your own home, which brings me back to the fact of how this judge can come up with that kind of end result with his judgment, because who's to say what's happening in people's private homes?
Yeah, right? And the I'm just reading the story, and by the way, people should look it up. It's the story. It's been in all the news outlets have it, but the one that I printed out for our purposes tonight is by Jason Proctor, who's a great reporter from the CBC, and it's off the CBC's website. The story goes on to say that the father in the case took the cell phone away from the daughter because I guess he found out that she was. Renewing a relationship with this boyfriend, and she was still able to use an iPad. And then I guess they found through the iPad that she was sending nude photographs of herself. So and then when she goes to school, I guess the next day or whatever, and shows her friends. The friends, I guess, tell an adult,
right.
And then the principal then calls the police.
Mm-hmm.
So. I guess it's really out of, whether or not the daughter wants her parents charged, we don't know that, but it doesn't matter anymore because
it doesn't matter.
The police, the police decide what to go after, and in this
exactly.
case, this is what the prosecution went after and got a conviction.
And that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Now. So it's like, you know, what's that going to be like now at home? That's a little uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do. I mean, you ask more questions, and you know,
it's like, you know, did the judge? I mean, I know he mentioned in the case in the article that the parents didn't seek out any counseling or any other kind of assistance. So, is that something that the judge is going to be ordering now, moving forward, or you know, like, is this? What are we doing to prevent and correct this in the future?
Yeah.
Or are we just going to charge them, give them a charge for assault that's going to, you know, potentially it's a bruise on their record that they didn't have before.
So when
they disciplined their child.
So when the dad found out about this, apparently, he told her, the daughter, she needed to respect herself and not throw herself at boys. Mm. If this was a loving, nurturing Christian home, as I would expect it to be, if I believe the parents, she would have known that already.
You would think so, especially at that age.
Yeah.
That they've already gone over that, right?
Yeah.
But we don't know all the dynamics of this family.
So
we don't know if she's one of ten.
Right.
We don't know what the situation is here.
So then in the story, the dad says what form of punishment would be appropriate. The daughter subsequently recalled that her father offered her two options, to be grounded for a really long time or to be spanked. She opted for the spanking.
So why is that? Oh, my. I don't know.
So according to the decision, the court decision, the father struck his daughter two or three times with a plastic mini hockey stick about 45 centimeters in length, and then he told his wife what had happened. The mother became upset. She picked up a skipping rope that was in the garage. She hit the daughter two or three times on her buttocks with a skipping rope. So,
to be honest, it's like, you know, I've heard of kids in our day and age that have gotten a lot worse for a lot less.
Yeah, and I mean, and I don't understand why you're asking the kid what kind of punishment. You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, exactly. She's almost 16.
And the kid's smart because the kid knows that if she's grounded, she's dead, right? She can't do anything socially.
Right.
But if she's spanked, it's, you know, it's a bruise a couple days.
She can move on
right?
with life.
Yeah.
Right? So I would be looking at what's her motive? Why would you go to school and show your friends?
Well, she really wanted to get the parents at that point.
Well, you know, what's your point? I'd have a problem with that kid.
So the story ends here, Mr. Proctor's story, that he found the mother and the father guilty of assault, and the couple have yet to be sentenced. Their next court date is in March.
Rude, unfair, unjust, and a waste of time. Just my opinion.
Give
them a parenting course and let's move on with life. There's crazier things going on right now that I think would require more legal attention than this. But, you know, I don't know. Our justice system is questionable anyway. This outlines exactly why. So this year, Dine Out Vancouver is an annual event. Starts in January. Usually starts mid-January, the 15th.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, because it's usually around my mom's birthday, and that's when we take her out for dinner. I usually go to my favorite restaurant for steak. Are there places that you frequent? I didn't get a chance to go this year, unfortunately, to any of the Dine Out Vancouver locations.
Yeah, well, I when it first started, it was a good time. Well, I guess we were in college or in high school when it started, so it was a good way because we couldn't afford to eat places. So it was a great way to eat at fancy places.
Places you couldn't go to usually to try out.
But then I look at some of the menus, and they're just dreadful.
Just shit, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's
That's what I saw. Like, nothing really appealed to me. And I don't know if it was me, but I thought some of the prices were a bit jacked up this year.
Yeah, we went for dinner on Saturday night, it happened to be a place that had a dine-out menu. And this is the other thing that I don't like about dine-out, is that some places get rid of the regular menu and just do the dine-out menu.
Yeah.
So you're captive. You're held hostage. Exactly. with a shitty menu.
It is.
So the place was the food was actually quite good that we went to. But, I mean, at the end of the night, I mean, the thing was like $140 for the two of us.
Mm.
And, I mean, that would have been the same price, I think, if it wasn't dine-out.
Right. See? So it's like, that's kind of the math I was doing myself. It wasn't finding it worthwhile.
Yeah, and then the other thing, I mean, I do eat out a bit, you know, two, three times a week. I'm not going to admit to how many times.
You eat out quite a bit.
Yeah, and the sort of people that go to dine out, though, they're just the worst kind of people. I mean, they're the sort of people that don't go to restaurants the rest of the year.
Really?
Yeah, and so they just have no comprehension of etiquette. They're rude to their servers. The servers are pissed off. And they probably don't tip well. And that's why the servers are pissed off.
Well, probably, because they're these chumps, you know, that eat out
exactly.
Once a year for their little dine-out Vancouver, and they expect the world, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, I could see that being, that could probably piss me off, too.
Yeah, and it's hard to, you know, and I make reservations online, and it's hard to make reservations online, because all these dine-out people have taken all of them.
Well, yeah, that's the other annoying thing, too. I mean, unfortunately, like I said, this year I didn't get an opportunity to try any places, but that's okay, because nothing really jumped out at me.
Yeah, I mean, one of the chains is one of the locally owned chains that owns, you know, six or seven different restaurants in the city, had an email this week saying that they've extended their dine-out scheme further past the dine out, whenever that I think it ends in early February, and they're going on for longer.
Oh, really? That's
yeah.
Nice.
And it's a good way, I guess, to bring people into restaurants because this is generally the slow time of the year, right?
It really is. I mean, again, a good opportunity to try somewhere that you wouldn't typically go or that you haven't been. It really, it's like, I think the big lure is you're getting a 3-course meal, right?
Yeah.
Usually. And you get to try a bit of everything, and like you said, sometimes the menu is shit. And that's what I've kind of noticed. That's kind of why I haven't tried any this year, because I haven't seen any menus that have really lured me in, other than my favorite steak place. So,
and so the favorite steak place is a chain restaurant, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So they do have a 3-course deal that they put on.
They do.
Yeah, and it's usually, what, $40?
$40.
Yeah.
Which is great.
But I mean, if you ordered the stuff separately, it'd be about the same, wouldn't it?
I order those stuff separately. It comes to almost about $50.
Yeah.
Almost $50, give or take a bit.
And the other thing that I know, sorry to interrupt you, is the portions are not the same as the regular ones most of the time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that too. Yeah, but again, I'm pretty basic. I go to the same place, and if I'm going somewhere new, I don't know the difference anyway.
Right. Yeah.
On portion size, so, and you know, sometimes I like that, because it might not be something that, again, going somewhere that I don't know. So if I'm just trying it, and again,
yeah,
you're getting a 3-course meal, so.
But you know, but that's the other thing. So I mean, if for a lot of people that only go once a year, they think that's representative of the restaurant, and then they won't go again.
Yeah, no, I take it as like a little, just like this is a test, just a little, like a little taste, you know. Because
yeah,
there's some on there that some of those locations on there that I have been to, and have had the regular menu. And I'm looking at their Dine Out Vancouver menu, and I'm like, why would you use these foods to highlight your restaurant when you have so much better things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I won't go to them while they're on their Dine Out Vancouver menu, because it's not nearly as good as what they have on their regular menu. It's
right.
Weird. So it's a weird little event. But like I said, I got my one or two places that I frequent, and that's it. But you said it goes till February?
Yeah, I can't even remember now.
I'll have to look it up. Yeah. So I guess we still have some time to check out some places if we're really so inclined.
Yeah,
maybe brunch or something.
Well, I've avoided most of the places that have dine out, and we'll look in these few weeks
right.
for places that don't do dine out, and try to go to those places, because I think if the gimmick is to get people to go in, why not go to these places that don't have a special pricing scheme?
I guess they're missing out, right? And plus, you're rich, right? You're just
no, I'm not.
Money.
No, I'm not.
So
no, I'm
why not?
Not?
Who needs a deal? Not Joseph. That's
no, I'm
crazy.
See, people, you say that, and then people will believe that. See, that's the problem.
Well, you know, it's proof is in the pudding, right?
Well, we are wrapping up this show, but next week you're coming over. You're doing it in person next week.
Yeah, that should be fun.
Yeah,
I think we shall. Possibly have a bottle of wine or scotch for that show. It should be interesting.
It's like we've never met before, right?
I know, right? Hey, whatever. Bring out the bottle of wine. It may be like we've never met before.
Exactly.
Who knows?
Yeah. Well, I'll see you next week then.
Oh, I will definitely. It'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. That's Two Peas in a Podcast for Monday, February 1st, 2016.
In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.
And I'm Jackie Pierre. We'll be back in 7 days.